Our second song is number 72. Who stands up here? That's always the basis of why we stand up here. For the glory and in getting ourselves ready to meet our Redeemer. I ask for your prayers and your attention this morning. I have been felt very blessed that this young man that will be standing here this morning has stayed in my home because of his way in showing an example of the gospel to me and helping me a lot. And I thank God very much for him. And I felt the Spirit that is with him, and I testify that I know it's the Spirit of the Lord. So I ask that you'd give him your careful and your prayerful attention.
I'd like to thank Joel for that. I feel greatly blessed that I've been privileged to be with him in such a great way. You know, you stay with him and you sleep with him in the same room and everything, but we sure, I feel a lot of strength from him many times. I'm glad to see you all here. I'm glad to see my folks come down. I had a lot of thought. I always have a lot of thoughts, seems like. Sometimes I have a hard time getting it straightened out so I could present it in a way that you might understand it. Indeed, I would ask for your prayers for myself. As well as for yourselves, that due to my way of presenting things, sometimes perhaps it's hard to understand. I spend a great deal of time endeavoring to seek the Lord on what he had had me to bring this morning. And perhaps even a little frustration. And then yesterday morning I got up before anyone else in the house. Of course, everybody else stayed up until morning the night before. So I got up and I took a drive out in the desert, nice and peaceful out there, and did some studying and some thinking. And I think that if we can place our minds and our hearts in the Lord, as well as perhaps in an atmosphere that would be in a way that we can think about him, not in an atmosphere of busyness all the time, we have a little better luck. I hope so, at least. I would like to start this morning in the 16th chapter of St. Matthew, in the 14th verse. And what I have to bring to you this morning, and again, I hope with the scriptures I use, that I feel impressed that these are the scriptures that he had had me to give. And in my understanding, I don't always understand why these particular scriptures, because, you know, I feel like I could open the scriptures most to any point and preach a sermon on most any point of the gospel. But my desire would be to preach that which he had had me to preach. So if we'd start there in the, did I say Matthew? I meant Mark. 16th chapter of Mark. I mean, yeah, 16th chapter, Mark, in the 14th verse. Afterwards, he appeared unto them, the 11, even they that sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and the hardness of their hearts, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And, of course, that was after Christ's crucifixion and risen again, and they went unto his disciples and said that they had seen him raised and they didn't believe him. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with tongues, with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoke unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached the gospel, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. Can you hear me, Gary? And we read this perhaps fairly often. And the point I would like to make here in this is perhaps in the 17th verse, and their signs shall follow the believers, and then he cast out devils and whatnot in his name. And in the 20th verse, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. I think this is very important, and I hope, again, that you can understand why, in the way that I'd like to relate this. My sermon basically this morning is on the desires of our heart. Where is the desires of our heart, and what can we do about it? And this particular verse, you know, they went forth and preached with signs following them. And I know the signs couldn't follow them unless the desires of their heart was to do exactly that, go forth and preach. And I'd like to go to 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. In the 3rd verse through the 7th. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yea, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first partake of the fruit. And this is, I think, he was trying to tell us here, trying to tell his son, as who he was writing this to, I believe, that if a man was going to engage in the war of righteousness, he would have to engage totally, not just kind of. He'd have to engage in a manner that he wouldn't be entangled in the affairs of this life. And I think so many times we say, and this is the hard part, and this is the part that I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And I don't want to hurt my own feelings, because I think I'm talking to myself probably perhaps more than anyone. Is because it's easy for me to say that I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's easy for me to say in front of you who love me, and if I make a mistake, they understand. It's easy for me to say that I want to preach the gospel to all that live upon the earth. But if the desires of my heart, and I was going to try and examine what is the desires of our heart, not particularly, but it's like an emotion or a feeling. It's not something you can actually see, but our works are a product of the desires of our heart. And it's easy for me to say I want to preach the gospel to the nations of the world, but if my heart's desire isn't there, it ain't going to happen. It isn't going to go forth. And I wonder, inasmuch as this particular verse, that sometimes if we don't entangle ourselves in the world, to the point that it hinders us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say, because I think it's a very important aspect if we're going to overcome the problems and the things which we see. Like when we go to conference, last year we went to conference and I heard different people say, well, we've had the gospel for 152 years and look where we are. Sometimes we don't feel like that we're always where we should be. And I'm not going to say one way or the other, because I feel like the Lord's always working with His people and He always will. But I think that if we put ourselves in a position wherein the desires of our heart, our lives physically, spiritually, are in a position that we can be used, we're going to be, and we're going to see changes happen. I'd like to turn to the Book of Mormon, page 194. And in the 18th verse. And it came to pass that after I had prayed and labored with all diligence, the Lord said unto me, I will grant unto thee according to thy desires because of thy faith. And now behold, this was the desire which I desired of him, that if it should be so that my people, the Nephites, would fall into transgression, and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people, the Nephites, even if it so be by the power of His holy arm, that might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation. And of course, I think this verse has several meanings. One, in as much as that he labored with all diligence for this desire of his heart. And when he labored with all diligence, it was granted unto him that the Lord would do this thing. And of course, and then we have the evidence that we're reading from, that he did exactly that thing and did preserve a record and did bring it forth at a later date. And there's only one perhaps thing that is missing, and not in full, it's not missing in full, and that is that it would go unto the Lamanites, that they might be brought unto salvation. And in part that is being done. But the point I wanted to make here was that because the desire of his heart was for this thing, then that's what happened. And I think that if we desire good, then that's what's going to happen. Even though if we get in a lot of problems and we go through a lot of trials and temptations, if we continually desire good, well, that's what's going to happen. I think I'd like to read in Psalms now, the 34th Psalms. In the 16th through the 19th verse. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remainder of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. He delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and that strive such as a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And it says in the next verse, He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And again, I think he's trying to tell us something. I know he's trying to tell us something. Inasmuch as if we keep our eye singled upon the Lord. And again, I'd like to stress a point, and that is that I don't know how to convey it, in as much as that I can stand up here all day until it's time for Kim to preach this afternoon and say that the desires of our heart should be on the gospel of Christ and the work in the Lord. And when it is in full, then our lives will change. The more the desires of our heart are on the Lord, the more our lives will change. And I don't think I'm talking to a bunch of people whose desires is that far off the Lord. But I think that we need to become more refined. But what I'm trying to say is I can speak all day. Unless we have some flicker of hope or a desire to have our heart's desire on the Lord, it ain't going to make any difference. It ain't going to make any difference what I say or do. It's up to each individual that's in this room. And I can read the scriptures that, such as this one, that says that one thing that will help us get our hearts on the desires that the Lord would have them would be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and to call out unto Him. And then as we do that, He will come with us and help us get us where we belong. I'd like to go to the third book of Nephi, page 651. In the 50th verse at the bottom of the page, and it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again to the multitude. And he said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation. For Satan desires to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. I think this is very important. I try and present a thought or a subject matter such as the desires of our heart, and then I would hope that within the remainder of my sermon we might receive an understanding of how we can better ourselves in this subject, whether it be the desires of our heart or victory or whatever it be, that we might endeavor to overcome the problem. You know, we can preach about a problem all day, but if we don't say anything about how we're going to overcome it, then do us no good. I think that in this particular reading, a very important thing that perhaps we lack in, I don't know, I'm not in everybody's homes, is pray in your families to the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children might be blessed. I think this is very important because, of course, tomorrow the church is the children of today. And unless we strengthen them, and every time I think about that, I think of the great responsibility that's placed upon the mothers. So many times I don't think we realize that responsibility. And I remember a verse that's in the Book of Mormon concerning 2,000 young Lamanites that went to battle. Not one of them died because their children, their mothers, had taught them to trust in the Lord since they were little ones. And if we could do that today, I think so many times we look beyond the point. We want to do something, but it's in front of us and we can't see it. And this responsibility of the mothers is one that is greater than my own. I can go and preach to thousands and thousands of people everywhere I go, and they don't listen to me unless I might find one or two that would give ear. And the mothers have a great opportunity in their own homes to teach the gospel of Christ to their children, that they might come up and be strong, even as those 2,000 that had never seen battle, but yet were victorious because of one reason, as they trusted. And so many times I think we look beyond the point because we want to get out and do something. So perhaps we are negligent to our children. We bring them to church and all, but there has to be, I feel, this day we live in as many is very near the end days. And my heart would rejoice to see 2,000 or 200 or 2 men raised from their children that would trust in the Lord to that degree that they would be delivered in anything. That would be one more step to the victorious part of this gospel that's going to go to the nations of the world. And I think within my own heart that it's going to take men such as those to stand against these things in the last days. And I don't think just because you weren't raised from your childhood in it that you couldn't be that strong, but I think it'd sure be a big help. So I think that we need to be very careful in how we raise our children. Here I am standing up here, I ain't got no kids. And might never, you can't tell. But I know what the scriptures say, and I know the examples that have been given concerning men who have been brought up in that understanding. So I don't think we ought to forget. I got on this subject, I guess, off of praying in your families, because that's very, very important. Very important that you're a good example before your children, as well as your children get in the habit of praying. I'd like to go to 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter. And in the 11th verse, again, a little note on prayer. For if you would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that you must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always, and not faint. For ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save ye first place ye must pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance might be to the welfare of thy soul. You know, I think that we look at this one as in the ministry, that we shouldn't step out on our own understanding, that we would pray about it, and that he would consecrate our work to the benefit of not only the welfare of our soul, but anyone that we had talked to, but as well as in our lives. You know, if I'm going to go down and buy a new house, maybe I ought to pray about it. And I know that, and I've heard many testimonies to that effect, whenever people have prayed about whatever it be, you know. And sometimes we think we're maybe silly, but no matter how small it might seem to us, you know, if I want to get a new pet, a dog, maybe I ought to pray about it a little bit. Just to know that in every aspect of my life, he would be taking control. I'd like to go to Helaman in the 2nd chapter. In the 29th verse. read a little bit, quite a bit here, I guess. Well, not a whole lot, 31. Helaman 2:29. And in the 50th year of the reign of judges, there was a place, peace also, save it were the pride which had began to enter in, to enter into the church. Not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who profess to belong to the church of God. And they were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. I'd like to make a little comment on that. And I think that it's probably, you know, many things that I speak about and many people speak about up here is repeating things, just things we need to remember over and over. And that is that this pride is not good, to trust in the arm of the flesh, especially when it becomes to the point that we persecute another because he's poor or richer. I think we need to divorce ourselves from the physical aspect so much of life. If I see a man in South Phoenix that doesn't have good clothes and stuff, I shouldn't feel bad that he doesn't have good clothes. I should feel bad that he doesn't know the gospel of Christ. And I think that that's what we need to come to an understanding, that when we see people, that we need to see them as an individual, a human being, a creation of the same one that created us, inasmuch as rich or poor or black or white or anything else. And this was very destructive to the church of God in that day, whenever this pride started entering in. But I'd like to, again, place a little solution of what these people did. And now it was a great evil, which did cause the more humble part of the people to suffer great persecution. And it weighed through much affliction. Nevertheless, they did fast and pray oft, and did wax stronger and stronger in humility, and firmer in the faith of Christ, unto the filling of their souls with joy and consolation, yea, even to the purifying and the sanctification of their hearts, which sanctification cometh because of their yielding their hearts to God. I think that was a, you know, this persecution came upon them, but it didn't result in discouragement. It resulted that made them stronger in the gospel of Christ. It resulted that they humbled themselves before God, and they yielded their hearts to God. And this, again, is an example, as the scriptures, many of them are, that of what will happen when an individual do a certain thing. In this case, they fasted and prayed, and they humbled themselves and became firm in the faith of Christ unto the filling of their souls with joy. So if you could perhaps imagine this, a group of people, probably less than the group of people that were puffed up in pride, being mocked at and afflicted in all different ways, but yet their souls are full of joy. So I think that they probably came out on top. And they yielded their hearts to God. And I think that in the desires of our hearts, that's a key factor, that we must yield our heart to His desire, to His will. I'd like to go to Mosiah. The first chapter of Mosiah. And the 118th verse. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children, and believe in that salvation was and is and is to come, and in and through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord omnipotent. For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever. But if you yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and become as a saint, through the atoning blood of Christ, the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, full of love, and willingness to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to afflict upon you, upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread through every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be the little children only, through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. In that entire reading, there's many points that could be brought out. I'd like to discuss a couple there. I'd like to say something that just crossed my mind. That is that, you know, I told you when I began, I had a lot of perhaps even fear concerning this sermon. And I spent a lot of time on it in the last couple of days only. But, you know, I just looked up the clock and it's cruised right on around there. And I think it's a testimony to me that if someone, myself, stands up here or anybody and they want to do what the Lord wants them to do, that he'll help them. And I feel like that he is helping me now, and I'm thankful for your prayers, and I'd ask that you might continue to pray that I'd be able to bring this message as he'd see fit. Back to the 118th verse here in the first chapter of Mosiah. But men drink damnation to their own souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children. And again, we find the word humility, which is probably a large asset in one who would desire to serve the Lord. And of course, a belief, another faith again. And the 120th verse, but if you yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man. And the natural man, of course, is the one that lives in us naturally. The one that makes me want to cling to the world, the half of me that wants to go and do the things of the world. And it's in everybody, and it's part of the task of this life. Inasmuch that's one thing that we got to overcome is the natural man. The desires of the natural man is an enemy to God, and it says it will be forever and ever. And in the 20th verse as well, it says, and after he says the natural man, and become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble. And those of you who have children know that your children are submissive, meek, and humble to you when you're getting after them or something. They respect you. I guess that's the word. And I think that's what he expects from us, is for us to respect him and respect the commandments which he gave to us, that we might follow therein. And on the 121st verse, this is one of my desires in life that I want to see, even if I'm not a part of it. And that is that the gospel would go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And that repentance would be sounded across the earth again. And again, I think that just in this, you know, the first verse that we read was that men drank damnation to their souls. And just within a few verses, it was given to us here that how we would overcome that. And even when we overcame it, that what would be the end result. And that would be that the gospel would go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and that we must become as a little child and again to the Lord. And I think that that's neat, and that's how we have to look on it. When we get a problem in this life, no matter what it be, if we're trying to change our life, that we get a hold of the problem, we examine the problem, and we find the solution to the problem, and we're stronger because of it, and we go on. I'd like to turn to Alma. And let's see. Fifth chapter of Alma in the 38th verse. And now, my beloved brother, I have said these things unto you, that I might awake you to a sense of your duty to God, that ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And now I would that ye should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to entreat, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent to keep the commandments of God in all things. And I'd like to just comment a little bit on that, and that is, before we go on, I want to go on a little further there, and that is that we need to perhaps awake ourselves to a sense of duty. And in doing that, he turns right around, that we might walk blameless before him who have called us to walk in that way. And then he gives us some attributes of an individual that would walk in that way, and that is that we might be humble, submissive, gentle, patient, long-suffering. I'd like to go on with the 40th verse. Ask for whatsoever thing ye stand in need of, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever thing ye do receive. And see that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and that ye will always abound in good works. It says, I'd like to read that verse again, 41. And see that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and then ye will always abound in good works. And I think in that, how that's written, and I understand it, is that if we apply and have this faith, hope, and charity, and of course charity covers many, many things, that we will abound in good works. And that's just like they go hand in hand. You don't have faith, hope, and charity and do things which are opposite to the gospel of Christ. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, and ye may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets who have been even since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, and go no more out. And of course, that again, he just brings those things one right after another, the solution, what we need to do, and what's the end result, that we might sit down in the kingdom of heaven and go no more out, would be our goal or our goal in life. I'd like to go to the Alma in the 15th chapter. And 56th verse. Yea, and I know that good, and evil have come before all men, and that he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him is given according to his desires, whether he desireth good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of countenance. Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work to which I have been called? Why should I desire that I was an angel, that I could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doeth grant unto all nations of their own nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore, we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory in myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hand of God to bring some soul to repentance, and that this is my joy. This scripture, the last two verses of that, I was hesitant about reading, because I thought, well, perhaps they didn't really have that much to do with what we were talking about. In the 56th verse, it talks about the desires of our heart, and just kind of lays it on the line, that if we desire to do good, then that's what's going to be accounted to us at the last day is good. And if we desire to do evil, well, that's what's going to be given us. These last two verses, I would hope that would be perhaps in each of our hearts and our minds, that we would glory not in ourselves, but we'd glory in that which he has called us to do. And I believe that if you're sitting under the sound of my voice, he's called you to do something. And that we would take upon ourselves that work and glory in it and do it, that we might be an instrument in his hand. And I would hope that that would be in each of our hearts. I have one scripture left to read. I think I'll read it, and then I have a little poem I'd like to read. And that's Alma in the 19th chapter. And in the 66th verse, I hope that these verses of scripture, that as we ponder them in our minds and our hearts, that they're fitting together. Because whenever I was preparing the sermon at home, they weren't fitting together. I'm reading them now, they fit together pretty good. But I hope they're fitting together for you, and that you gain some understanding. Otherwise, I would just waste my time. In the 66th verse, and it is requisite that with the justice of God, that man should be judged according to his works. To their works, and if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their heart were good, that they should also at the last day be restored to that which is good. And if their works are evil, they should be restored unto him for evil. Therefore, all things which are restored, all things shall be restored to their proper places, everything to its natural frame, mortality to immortality, corruptness to incorruptness, raised to endless happiness, to inherit the kingdom of God, or to endless misery, to inherit the kingdom of the devil. The one on the one hand, and the other on the other. The one raised to happiness according to the desires of happiness, or good according to the desires of good, and the other to evil according to the desires of evil. For as he has desired to do evil all the day long, even so shall he have his reward of evil when the night cometh. And to me, that kind of sums it up, kind of just lays it on the line, and that is that according to the desires of our heart shall our works be performed in this life, and according to the works that we perform in this life shall be our judgment at the last day. And myself, I like to look at that positively, that we might walk in an attitude of good works, of good desires, that we'd be happy individuals in the gospel of Christ, and that we would look forward to that reward, whatever it be, at the last day. because we'd know and we'd have a sense of, not pride, but of self-esteem, in as much that we would know that we're endeavoring to do that which is right. And that we wouldn't have to worry about that part which is evil, because we wouldn't count unto ourselves evil. And I hope that you can understand what I'm saying. I can look out there and see different people and look at them and they're looking at me. And I feel like that you do. I feel like you do understand. So the little poem, I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to read a poem this morning, and this was the poem that I got. It's like a prayer. I got it from Brother Housenick. Dear Lord, we come before Thee, while at Thy feet we humbly bow. We come before Thee now, while at Thy feet we humbly bow. Help each of us our cross to bear, our burdens and our joys to share. Help us to see, to hear, obey the words you've given for our day. That we might trust, we might trod. My reading's not too hot. Let me try this again. That we might tread in the path Christ trod, the path that leads us to Thee, God. Help us Your word to understand, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts to expand. Help us to search Thy word each day. Yea, search with faith, dear Lord, we pray. Give us the wisdom which we need to serve Thee both in word and deed. Help us to rid ourselves of doubt, to keep us pure within, without. Show each of us wherein we lack. Give us Thy Spirit, bring us back. Yea, bring us back as one to in Thee. Dear Lord, this is our humble plea. Help us to fill our hearts with love, the love that comes from Thee above. Unite our souls and our hearts in Thee. This is our prayer of unity. I think that says a lot. Even in the last line, our prayer of unity. Because I'd hope that we would be unified and our desires of our heart would be unified in the work of this gospel and in our lives, that we would temporally, physically, and most of all spiritually, submit ourselves to the will of the Lord, that our desires would be where He'd have them, and we'd be in a, I guess the outcome of what I, my hope in applying this, would that each and every one of us, myself perhaps in particular, because perhaps I lack more than anyone, and that is that we would be in a position that we'd be in tune to His voice, that we'd be in a position that we'd be an instrument in His hand. I'd like to say that, you know, as I came up here today, I appreciated my brother Joel's prayer and his introduction. You know, I appreciated the confidence or the encouragement that I get, that just comes down over me like a sheet when I sit down up here and look out there and see different people, and they're looking at me, and I know they're encouraging to me, you know. And I look at Hube, and he always has that old wink in his eye, and just the attitude of each other is such a great strength to each other, that we might apply this attitude to the world, that we could strengthen the world in the gospel, would be my hope. I'd like to thank you for your attention, for your prayers.